Starting with Thursday, Ezekiel chapter 23, look at verses 29 and 30. Now God is comparing, these two cities of Samaria and Jerusalem. He's using an illustration of these two adulterous women. And he's saying that these two cities are like adulterous women, Samaria and Jerusalem. And so in verse 29 and 30, we read this: "They will deal with you in hatred and take away everything you have worked for. They will leave you naked and bare, and the shame of your prostitution will be exposed. Your lewdness and promiscuity have brought this upon you, because you lusted after the nations and defiled yourself with their idols." But of course, we can commit any type of spiritual adultery. If we have any type of idols, if there's anything you love more than the Lord, that is your spiritual adultery. That is your idol. So lay it down, throw it away, get rid of it in your heart anyway. And then in verse chapter 24, look at verse 14 and 24. God says this: "I, the Lord, have spoken. The time has come for me to act. I will not hold back. I will not have pity, nor will I relent. You will be judged according to your conduct and your actions, declares the sovereign Lord." And he's declaring judgment there again. And then in 25, look at verse 15 and verse 17. This is what the sovereign Lord says: "Because the Philistines acted in vengeance and took revenge with malice in their hearts, and with ancient hostility sought to destroy Judah, so because they did these things," then we read in verse 17, "I will carry out great vengeance on them and punish them in my wrath. Then they will know that I am the Lord when I take vengeance on them." It is not a good idea to gloat over our enemies when this nation was turning against the Lord's people. And then in chapter 26, look at verses 2 and 3, the same principle applies here in verses 2 and 3. Not a good idea. "Son of man, because Tyre has said of Jerusalem, 'Aha! The gate to the nations is broken, and its doors have swung open to me. Now that she lies in ruins, I will prosper.' Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says: 'I am against you, O Tyre, and I will bring many nations against you, like the sea casting up its waves.'" And so it's not a good idea to gloat over your enemies. And then in Luke, let's turn to Luke for our New Testament readings. In Luke chapter 22, and if you're new at this, the New Testament is that last third of the Bible. You'll see Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. Luke 22, look at verse 13. "They left," Jesus had given his disciples some instructions. It says in 13, "They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover." You can always trust what the Lord is telling you. It's always just as he says, just as the Lord Jesus says. And then in 23, look at verses 11 and 12. This is when they're trying Jesus before his crucifixion. "Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies." Well, that's just what Jesus does, isn't it? If you get focused on the Lord Jesus, you and somebody else, he just brings people together. That's what he does with you and God. He's your mediator. He's the one that can bring you into a relationship with God when you're separated from him because of your sins. Then let's look at Psalm 142. You can turn there. That's in the middle of your Bible, but back up just a little bit. In Psalm 142, listen to these, almost the first three verses. "I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my way. And then look at Psalm 143, and this is where we're going to dive down for our message this morning. Psalm 143, so turn there if you're not there yet. Psalm 143. Your God is more than enough. He is more than enough. I don't know what your need is this morning, but I know that is true because God declares it in His Word. Whatever your need is this morning, your God is more than enough. You see, we get in need. And let me pray before we go any further. Father, we just ask that you would speak to us right now through your word. Lord, open each of our hearts. Make our hearts soft and receptive to hear your word. Would you please increase, Lord, 10,000 times. Lord, may we please decrease 10,000 times. Would you be glorified? Would you speak to every one of our hearts, Lord, the message that you have for each individual by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, make us ready. Make us receptive. Help us to tune in to you and what you're saying and listen to you. Help me to get out of the way, Lord. Speak through me now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, we get in need. We all have needs. We continuously are having needs all the time. But so often, we don't go first to God. So often, we'll have a need, it'll come up, and we won't go first to God. So often we'll go somewhere else first. I shared last week when we needed some more football tickets. We had a few. We're trying to go to the Auburn game and looking for some more tickets. And so, of course, what's the natural tendency? Let's head out. Let's go look for some tickets. And so we head out and we go look for some tickets. But we weren't finding any. It dawned on me. And Christian was riding up on my shoulders, and I said, let's pray, buddy. And he said, oh, yeah, let's do it. But it dawned on me a little bit later. That's always the first thing. God is our meter of needs. And so we prayed, Lord Jesus, please provide us with some tickets. And you heard the story last week. And then just a few moments after that, some lady came by and gave us more than we needed. What is it? Your God is more than enough. Some lady came by and gave us 4 free tickets. We only needed 3, and we could have paid a little bit. God gives you more than you need. He is more than enough for your needs. It often happens when we lose something. You know, how often do you lose something and then you just sit out, oh my goodness, I need that thing, and you look everywhere, and if you're not careful, it might be about 30 minutes after looking, and you finally decide to pray. God is the first place we need to go to. When we lose something, we immediately should stop and say, oh, Lord, would you show me where that is? Where is that? I've got a friend in Tallahassee. I used to minister at a church in Tallahassee, and John Allen and I used to go to these RA campouts, and I love it when he tells this story, and I wish I had him here to share it, but his name's Jeff, and as a testimony to the Lord, he would share this story about how they put all this money into his son's glasses, and one day they lost the glasses, and they live out on a lake in Tallahassee, and there's woods everywhere. They lost the glasses, and the son had been out playing everywhere, and they couldn't find him anywhere. They had paid all this money, and they looked and looked and looked and looked, and finally, remember, it needs to be the first thing. But at some point, you know, he just prayed. And he just said, God, where are those glasses? Where are those glasses? And I can't remember the detail, but something immediately popped. As soon as he prayed, something popped into his mind, this place in his house. And then he started saying, he said, the so-and-so. And he ran in the house, and it was a strange place. He ran in the house, and he looked right under that thing that the Lord had put in his mind, and there were the glasses. We get in need. Sometimes we go other places first. There was a little girl that I knew about not too long ago, and she had stolen something. And I knew this needed to be reconciled between this little girl and then somebody else. And she had stolen something. And of course, I could have just hoped, yeah, I hope it'll turn. I hope she'll fess up and I hope she'll come back. But prayer came to mind. I began to pray and I prayed, Lord, would you please just put it in that girl's mind, Lord, just to come back, just to confess it, just to get right with you and get right with this other person. And it wasn't too long after that. It might have been the next day or something. This little girl shows up and she's confessing to this person. We need to go to the Lord first. Go to Him with your needs. He is more than enough. But so often, we go to something else first. There's a need and we go somewhere else. We go to somebody or something other than the Lord. Well, we see what we need to do here in Psalm 143. Now, this is a prayer of David, and in Psalms 138 through 145, these are all psalms that David wrote, so they're called Davidic Psalms, 138 through 145, and there's six prayers that David is just praying, King David, he's just praying. That's the six psalms in the middle, and they're sandwiched in by these two psalms of praise, where he's just praising the Lord. So we're going to look at one of these prayers here this morning in Psalm 143 that David prayed. And then tonight we'll look at another prayer that he prayed in there in Psalm 144. So look at it with me and keep in mind, your God is more than enough. Listen to what God says. Oh Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. When you have a need, what do we see here? What does God show us here in this psalm? When you have a need, first of all, call for mercy. That's the first thing we see here. When you have a need, call for mercy. You see that in verses 1 and 2. Oh Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. I'm crying out for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. Call for mercy, first of all. When you have a need, call for mercy. You see, you need to stay right before the Lord. If you have sin in your life, and there's unconfessed sin, there's all these sins, that's what God wants to deal with first. Not some other thing out here that you need. You always need to be right with God. You need to have a right relationship with Him. How would it work out if one of my children had just done something and they were just being disciplined. They were and right after they had done it, and I say, oh, you go to your room for timeout. And they say, well, can I have a couple of cookies first? Yeah. No, let's deal with this first. You go to your room for timeout. We'll talk about cookies later. Get right with God. Stay right with Him. Be in that right relationship with the Lord. So call for mercy. When you have a need, first of all, call for mercy. Make sure you're right before the Lord. Be clean before Him. He says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So confess your sin to Him first. Make sure you've confessed all known sin. Be clean before Him. Why? Well, for one thing, you need to make sure your need is not discipline. You may be thinking, I have this need here, God, I have this need. But if you have unconfessed sin, maybe that's discipline. Maybe that's the Lord's discipline. So make sure your need is not His discipline. Go ahead and call for mercy, first of all. Be clean before Him. Confess and repent. Have a deep change of mind. Turn from that. So first of all, call for mercy. Next, watch out for enemies. So when you have a need, call for mercy and then watch out for enemies. We see that in verses 3 and 4. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. Watch out for enemies when you have a need. When you have a need, call for mercy and then watch out for enemies. You see, there's all kinds of enemies. All kinds. There's many enemies that can cause needs. There's the enemy of, just know that as a believer, there's many enemies. As a believer, there's the world and there's the teachings of the world. Watch out for those enemies that come from the world and the teachings of the world and instruction from other people and advice from other people. Are not necessarily believers, or not necessarily godly advice. Watch out for the world, your enemy. Watch out for the world and the flesh. Watch out for you. Watch out for yourself. You see, you'll have your own desires. You'll have your own ways you think you should go about it. Watch out for the flesh. That's your next enemy as a Christian. The world, your own flesh, your own evil desires within you because you have a sinful nature. Watch out for the world. Watch out for your own flesh and your own sinful desires. And watch out for the devil. That crafty one, that enemy who is against you. The Bible says clearly, we just went to the zoo with some of Allison's family, and we enjoyed watching those lions, and we had little Andrew, my little nephew, 2-year-old, and looking at those. Oh, look. And you know, those things, when they roar, that could be bone-chilling. That can be paralyzing. And God says, watch out. He says, your devil, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. You've got that enemy against you. Watch out. Watch out for your enemies. There's all kinds. Many enemies can cause these things. David's talking about his enemies in verses 3 and 4. And then, of course, there was the enemy of Egypt. You remember when God's people had been enslaved in Egypt, and then it was time for them to be set free and time for them to leave. Well, Egypt was their enemy, and Egypt began to pursue God's people, and God brought them to Moses led God's people to the edge of the Red Sea, and God told him to raise that staff over the sea, and the sea parted, and God led His people through on dry ground, and then the enemy, Egyptians, all these Egyptians started coming after, and God wiped them out. There's so many different kinds of enemies. Well, what is your enemy? What hinders you this morning? What is your Egypt in your life? Could be in one of those categories. Probably is the world, the flesh, the devil. What is your Egypt that you've got to watch out for? What hinders you in your relationship with the Lord? Following Him and doing His will. What is that sin that so easily entangles you and grabs you and keeps on messing you up and tripping you up. What is it? You got to answer that for yourself. But the goal, the point is here, watch out for your enemies. Watch out for your enemies. So when you have a need, call for mercy. Watch out for your enemies. And then remember what he has done and call to him. Remember what he has done and call to him. We see that in verses 5 and 6. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. In verse 5, remember what he's done and call to him. In verse 5, he's remembering the works of the Lord. He's meditating on the things that God has already done. Well, you can do that. Hopefully you're meditating on Scripture every day. Hopefully you're treating it like spiritual food, and maybe you're eating 3 meals a day. Hopefully you're getting into it to feed your spirit. Maybe morning, noon, and night, you're looking into His Word. Hopefully you're saturating yourself in His Word. Hopefully maybe you've got some other ways that you're getting into His Word. Or maybe you're using the Scripture surfing, and you're saturating yourself with that spiritual food. And as you do that, what happens? Well, you see what all God has done, and you see what He is doing, and it's a living Word. And you see what He's doing and what He's done. And so, when you have that need and you call out for mercy and then you watch out for your enemies, well, then you can remember what He's done. You start recalling all these things. Maybe what you read this morning. Man, God, I saw you part that sea this morning. That was so awesome. Or, God, I saw you allow Peter to walk on the water when I read your word this morning. Man, that's fresh on my mind. Lord, I see what you've done. What are you doing? You're meditating on the works of God. You're meditating on what He has done. So meditate on the Word. Meditate on the things the Lord has done. How do you know that? You just saturate yourself in His Word. And then there's also the works that He's done in your life. You know the last thing that you saw Him do in your own personal life. And you meditate on that. And you think about that. And so you remember what He has done. And then you call to Him. We see that in verse 6. I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. And so when you have a need, call for mercy, watch out for enemies, and then remember what He has done and call to Him. Remember what He's already done and then call to Him. And then finally, trust in Him. We see that in verses 7 through 12. I'm not going to read it all, but we see that in verses 7 through 12. Answer me quickly in verse 7. O Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. And he goes on from there. But he's trusting in the Lord. And so finally, trust in Him. Another, what that word means, what it means to trust in the Lord is to look expectantly to Him. To look expectantly. You've called on Him, Lord, help me with this need. Now what? You're looking to Him expectantly. You're expecting Him to answer that need because you just called on Him. And now you're expecting it. That's faith. You're expecting the answer. That's what it is to trust in Him or to look to Him expectantly or to hope in Him. And he talks about seek His face. Seek His face. And then he talks about His unfailing love. God has this unfailing love for you. And he says, and show me the way, Lord. He's trusting in the Lord. And so when you have a need, remember that this morning. Call for mercy. Whatever need you have, whatever need you came in here with this morning, you think about it. You get that need in mind right now. And you go through this process. You think about it. Think about your need. And then go ahead and as Chris leads us in this song, maybe you go through this. You go ahead and call out for mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, is this need my fault? Have I messed up? Lord, is this your discipline? Have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on me. And what if I have any sins in the way, forgive me, have mercy on me, cleanse me. And then, Lord, help me to see the enemies. What enemies do I have, Lord, around me in regard to this need? Lord, help me to watch out for those enemies. And then, Lord, I call to mind what you've done and let him bring to mind what he's done. Maybe it's something you read this morning in his word and you're like, oh man, I remember when you did that, Lord. Or maybe it was in your Bible study group. Oh, God, I remember when you did that. Maybe he'll bring something to mind that he's just done in your life. Oh, Lord, I remember when you did that. Maybe for me, I'll say, Lord, I remember how you provided those tickets for us. Remember what he's done, and then call to him. And then go to him and say, so Lord, I remember what you've done. I know what you can do. And Lord, I'm calling on you for this need. Lord, would you do this? And then look to him expectantly and then trust in him. Lord, I trust you to do it. Thank you. Go ahead and thank him. Thank you, Lord. Well, maybe your greatest need this morning is the forgiveness of your sins. Maybe your greatest need is salvation. Maybe that's your greatest need. Well, there again, you need to call out for mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Watch out for your enemies. Remember what he's done. Remember that he went to the cross and he paid for all of your sins there. And then he's raised from the dead and he's taken your punishment for you. And then call to him. Lord Jesus, save me. Come into my life. And then you look to him expectantly. Well, now I'm expecting you to save me. I guess I'm yours. I guess I'm on my way to heaven now. I've asked you to come into my life. I guess you're in me now and I'm your disciple. Wow, fantastic, Lord. I have a new life. Maybe that's your greatest need is salvation. Maybe it's some other need. Maybe you need to find a church home. Maybe that's your need. You go through this. Maybe this is your church. Or maybe this needs to be your church home. You pray about it as Chris leads us in this song. Chris, you can come. But Chris is going to lead us in a song. And I invite you to go to the Lord in prayer. Go through these things. And ask the Lord what he's doing in your life. What he's telling you. And go to him with your needs. And if he's calling you to be saved, if he's calling you to come to himself, step out of your seat and come and walk down that aisle. And come and share that with me. I'll talk with you about that. And we can pray together. We'll share that. Everybody Jesus ever called, it was to follow him publicly. He said, come, follow me. You do it in front of everybody. You go follow him if you're his disciple. Maybe it's to join this church. You come as Chris leads us. Or maybe you have some other need and you just need to pray about it. You need to pray through this process. You do that as Chris leads us in this song.